Do you want to do the intro? Because I feel like I always do the intro.
This is Alicia doing the intro. I don't like the intro.
You're the worst. Hi, welcome to Podcast Obscura. I'm Charisse, and that was Alicia, as you heard. And we are cousins who discuss the bizarre and the weird and the creepy and the scary. And welcome. If you are enjoying this podcast, we would love it if you could give a subscribe and a review. It would mean the world to us. So yeah, thanks. Anyway, in this episode, we're going to be talking about two different haunted hotels, kind of their story, and then, their stories. But before we get started, Alicia, I wanted to tell you something creepy that happened last night to me.
Ooh, tell me.
So, Danny, my husband, for you people listening, he was not at home at the time, and both of my kids were upstairs asleep, and I'm sitting downstairs, and I'm watching TV, and I hear what sounds like my son or my daughter trying to, like, creep down the stairs. So I hear, like, a couple steps down the stairs, and so I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting to hear a kid yell out, "Mom!" And then I hear a couple more steps down the stairs, and so then I'm like, "Who's there?" I'm like, "Michaela? Dylan?" Silence, nothing. But that's not uncommon, because Dylan, now he's seven, will sometimes creep down the stairs and he doesn't say anything until he gets to the very bottom. And so then I hear another couple of steps, and I'm like, "I know one of you are on the stairs. I hear you. Why aren't you responding to me?" Another couple of steps.
Ooh.
"What is going on?" And I'm like, "Seriously, you're not going to answer me?" So I get up from the couch and go around the corner expecting to see my son, or at least my daughter, standing on the stairs. There's nobody there.
Ew.
Nobody there. And it wasn't like I creeped around the corner and one of the kids would have had the chance to run up the stairs, because I would have seen it and I would have heard them. And so I'm like, it must have been the cat. I immediately walk back into the living room. Both the dog and the cat are passed out asleep.
Ew. On the couch. You've had some creepy stuff on the stairs before, though.
Yeah, like where I thought that I saw Michaela, like, running down the hallway to go up the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, what happened on your stairs?
I don't know. I mean, ooh, this house isn't like... I mean, it was built in the 80s, like the mid-80s. And as far as we know, nobody died here or anything. So, I don't know.
That's creepy, and I don't like it.
Do you want to come stay the night at my house?
Not really, no.
Aw. You don't want to stay at my haunted house?
Not really.
Well, all right. Speaking of haunted, we are discussing haunted hotels. So, they're kind of like haunted houses.
Okay, so I picked the Cecil Hotel, and it is known for having a pretty dark history. And P.S., most of this information I'm pulling from is from thelineup.com, though there are a ton of other sites that focus on this place. But anyways, so it's known for its dark history. So Elizabeth Short, also known as the Black Dahlia, stayed at the Cecil right before she was murdered.
Ew.
Then there's this person named Goldie Osgood, known as the Pigeon Lady of Pershing Square, who was raped and murdered in her hotel room in 1964.
Ew. Wait, this hotel is in LA?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The Night Stalker stayed there.
Oh my God. Ew.
His copycat, and I didn't know there was a copycat, but his copycat, Jack Unterweger, lived there.
Oh.
And it's also played host to many a suicide, including one woman who'd killed a passing pedestrian after she just decided to just jump off the top.
Wait, so she, like, jumped off the top and landed on a pedestrian?
Yes.
That sucks.
That's a terrible, terrible move.
That was a bad day for both of them.
I know. So, but the big story that, and maybe, and you may have heard of this, but I was fascinated by this story when it happened, because there's this video that I need you to watch because it's one of the creepiest things I've ever seen. There's no sound. Anyways, let me build up to that. I'm jumping the gun a bit. So there's a girl named Elisa Lam. It's the Elisa Lam case. And she was traveling alone. She's 21, a Canadian college student, and she was doing a solo West Coast tour. And she was staying at this hotel, which apparently was kind of seedy. It's by Skid Row. It's not in a very nice area, but, you know, being...
When was this?
This was in 2013.
Oh, okay.
Like, pretty recent. So long story short, she vanishes. That's the last time anyone saw her was at this hotel. And we know this because there is a video of her on the elevator. And it's one of the creepiest things I've ever seen. Like I said, I might have you watch it real fast. She comes on the elevator, kind of hides, like hides out of view. Then she starts pushing buttons. Then she steps out, peers down the hallway, jumps back in the elevator, starts doing all this weird stuff. And you're kind of like, is there someone there talking to her? Or is she like having like a mental breakdown? Like, what's going on? So here, I'm actually going to send you super quick the link. Linkity link.
We should post this link in the description of this episode.
I should do those things. You're very bossy.
I am very bossy. All right, the lineup.
Just scroll down till you see the video.
All right, let's watch this. Why do I feel like I've seen this video?
You probably have.
Did not sound familiar at all to me. But now that I'm about to watch this, Is it letting me play for me? Okay.
Well, let me know if it looks familiar.
All right. So the elevator door is opening and she gets on. She doesn't seem like super crazy right now.
Yeah, it seems fine at first. Like,
oh, pop-up ad.
No.
Okay. So yeah. Oh, now it's kind of weird because she's pushing like
every single button, right?
All the buttons in a row. And she's standing. She's standing. Ew, and then she's creeping around the corner. Now she's hiding in the corner.
Isn't that creepy? And why isn't the door shutting?
That's what I was just thinking. I'm like, this is the slowest elevator door I've ever seen in my...
It made me afraid someone was out there pushing the button, like, to keep the elevator open.
Oh, yeah.
And she does... I don't know. And then I was like, is she pushing all the floors so that this person doesn't know which floor she's on? Like... I don't know. But then that's...
And then she like jumps out of the elevator. She's standing in the hallway now. Goes back into the elevator. Oh, back into the hallway. She's being so weird.
It's creepy, right? What's happening?
I know. It is. It's like, is there something going on? Or is this just like you said, is she just having like some sort of mental episode?
And again, why is the elevator door still open? Like that doesn't...
Yeah, that's weird.
That doesn't seem right.
It has to be somebody's holding... I mean, unless the elevator's broken, somebody has to be holding the button, right? Now she just got back in the elevator and she seems really confused. Pushing more buttons. Was this at that hotel, the Cecil Hotel? Okay. Wait, and this hotel is in Skid Row?
Like by there, yeah.
Okay. What is going on? Why won't this elevator door close?
I know.
She's totally like talking to someone. What is she doing? She's like waving her hands weirdly.
I know, it's creepy because you're like trying to put...
Is she talking to someone? I don't know. I kind of feel like she's having an episode.
That's right. So the questions were like, was there someone there? Was someone there part of the time? And then she had an episode. Is she just having an episode? But this still doesn't explain why the elevator door is still freaking
open. Yeah, that's weird. Because it does totally look like she's like, she took some bath salts or something.
So listen, I think you're at the part where she just is gone
like,
now, right?
Yeah, I don't see her. But there's still like a minute of the video left.
No, well, the elevator door like suddenly shuts now that she's not standing there, which makes me feel like, was someone pushing this? And then she finally was like, fine, I'm not going to go on the elevator. I'll just like go up the stairs or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then like suddenly the elevator door...
Oh, yeah, okay, here the elevator doors are shutting. That's so weird.
I know, right?
I wish they had audio. I want to hear what she was saying.
I know.
Clearly she was talking like when she's waving her arms around and stuff.
Right?
And then the elevator door just opened.
So, okay.
Did it go down a floor or anything? I couldn't
really tell. But, okay, so you saw the video, and that video...
The door is shutting again, yeah.
And the video is the last trace of this girl ever, basically, at this point. Like, she disappears, and they check the cameras, and they're like, okay, well, here she is, and it's the last time anyone sees her. Okay, so listen, 2 weeks pass, and she's still missing. And at the same time, the guests that are staying at the hotel, they start to complain about low water pressure. And then there's like brown water coming out of the tap.
Ew.
So like, it's probably 2 weeks. Yeah, I just said 2 weeks. So it's 2 weeks later. The maintenance guy goes to check the water tanks and he notices the top hatch to one of the tanks is open. So he climbs like this set of ladders and looks in and she's floating face up in the water tank.
Ew.
So here's the thing that's weird and no one can figure out.
Oh, here's the thing that's weird?
Here's an additional weird thing. The guy who, you know, he's a hotel employee. He knows the roof access pretty well. He tells police there is no way she could have gone to the roof without tripping an alarm. In fact, he had deactivated the alarm system before going up there, and only hotel staff have keys to the stairwell and the door. So basically, even if you did reach the roof without setting off an alarm, you'd have to climb onto the water tank platform, scale a second ladder to the top of the tanks, lift this really heavy metal latch, and jump inside.
So obviously, a hotel employee killed her.
Right? That's what we're thinking. So, okay, here's the thing. She was found naked in the water with her clothes floating by her, and it's the same clothes we see in the elevator. Now, I do know that when you're experiencing hypothermia, a lot of people who are found in the middle of the woods or whatever with hypothermia, they're usually found naked. And that is because before you die of the cold, your body gets so incredibly hot. You get so hot to the point where you just start taking your clothes off because you're burning up to an insane.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I forget the article, but it was this weird article kind of like, why are so many hypothermia victims found naked?
Huh.
There was no evidence of assault, no drugs except ibuprofen were in her system.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And at the time of her death, the water tank was about half to three quarters full. So there's still trying to figure out how some able-bodied person could drown in like a relatively small amount of standing water.
Ew.
So, yeah. So her family filed a wrongful death lawsuit. I think their case was dismissed though in 2015 because the judge said there was nothing that the hotel did to allow her to enter the roof or to suggest that the roof of the water tanks were safe. So, I mean, it ends. It's just, that's what it is. And I've read so many different theories about what people think happened. Some are like, yeah, it was a hotel employee. That's who was standing outside the elevator. That's who was like talking to her. Maybe she felt kind of creeped out by this person, or maybe she was creeped out at first and then she became friendly with them and they were just really insistent they hang out. Who's to say? Then other people are like, maybe she just had like psychological issues and was having an episode, and maybe in her state just made her way up there for whatever reason, decided to go for a swim. But it's still, the question is still like, how did you not trip the roof?
Yeah.
The alarm. So,
I mean, unless she like in her crazy manic state stole an employee's like security clearance badge or something.
Yeah. And someone who used to be a security guard who would run the control rooms for buildings they worked in, when they saw that elevator stalled, they were like, somebody parked that elevator. Like, they were like, elevators do not stay open that long. And then they were like saying that when she's talking and gesturing, it could be a response she's having to the intercom. Like, someone's talking to her from the control room. So this person is suspicious of the hotel employee that works the control room where the cameras are, where the security alarm is, and where the elevator controls are.
Huh. Interesting.
Right?
Well, that's creepy. And like, is this hotel still operating?
Yes, but I think they changed their name.
Nice try.
I know.
See, now I wouldn't want to stay at that hotel.
No.
I would want to stay at the hotel I'm going to talk about.
They're called Stay on Main.
stay on Maine.
Yep.
Do you want to go?
No.
Me neither, actually.
But what's crazy is if you go to the Stay on Maine Wikipedia page or the Cecil Hotel Wikipedia page, I know I told you a handful of like notorious, weird, creepy people that stayed there or died there. Uh-huh. The list literally goes on and on. If you go to the page, it's just so many people have been found dead or killed. Like so many people committed suicide there. It's kind of weird, actually,
yeah.
The amount of people that have killed themselves, like whether from jumping or just shooting themselves or just, I don't know. Apparently some woman went nuts there and threw her baby out the window.
Oh my God.
Yes. And then
I'm just realizing this was the inspiration for American Horror Story Hotel.
Yes.
Duh.
Absolutely.
That was actually the only season that I didn't finish watching. I hated that season.
Oh, I didn't like it. I've watched the first episode and I was like, nope, I'm not into this at all.
Yeah, I made it like halfway through and I'm like, this season sucks.
So, okay. So at the very bottom, it says, it would appear there have been at least 16 deaths at the Cecil resulting from non-natural causes, either as a suicide, accident, or murder.
Oh.
And then, and this excludes a 1940 case where a woman was in critical condition after she was somehow poisoned at the hotel.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's definitely, there's some nasty energy there.
Yeah, right? And the amount of people that have.
Ew.
Like, I wonder if it's just like terribly negative, and maybe if you're already vulnerable, it just tips you over the edge or something.
Yeah, maybe. Ew.
Yeah, so that's crazy hotel.
Serious cleansing.
Yeah, bring all the sage. Get to work.
All the sage and crystals and cleansings and. Ugh. All right. So, yeah, I definitely don't want to go there, but I do want to go to the Stanley Hotel.
Where's that?
It's in Colorado. So the Stanley Hotel is a super well-known hotel. You may recognize it as The Shining.
Ooh.
The movie The Shining. This is where Stephen King and his wife stayed at the Stanley Hotel, which is in Colorado. They stayed there, and it was the night before they were closing down for the season. So just like in the movie The Shining, the hotel closed down for the season. And so him and his wife were the only guests at this hotel.
Ooh,
and this hotel is huge. I mean, it's beautiful and it's huge.
Yeah, I remember the scene at the beginning of the movie where Jack Nicholson's driving, and it's like he's going up this winding road, and then you come up, and it's like a freaking palace.
Yeah. And here, I'm going to share this picture with you, Alicia. And again, we'll post the link for this photo in the description. So after you listen to this podcast, you can go see. So a guest from Texas was staying there recently, and he was just trying to get an image of like one of the big staircases.
Yeah.
And he captured something, an image at the top of the stairs. So this is on... travel.mapquest.com, which I didn't even know MapQuest was still a website, but it is.
All right, let's see. Scroll. What is that creepiness?
I know. Doesn't it look like, what do you see?
There's like a woman or someone just standing there, just standing at the top of the steps off to the side.
Yeah. So that's creepy.
That's so creepy.
I don't know how I transitioned to that, but anyway. So I really have no idea how I just transitioned to that. Anyway, Stephen King and his wife stayed there, and just being at the hotel by themselves, this gigantic hotel, it really creeped him out. And he actually, I guess, had a bad dream that his 3-year-old son was being chased through the halls of the hotel. And when he woke up, that's pretty much kind of where he got the idea for the book.
Mm.
So the hotel itself was built in 1909 from the Stanleys, from Stanley Steamer. So they went there and they fell in love with the area because it was beautiful mountain air. And apparently Mr. Stanley had tuberculosis and... it cleared up when he spent time in the mountains and stuff. So he wanted to build a beautiful resort there. And basically, like, nothing really super crazy has happened there, which that's what makes it kind of weird of, like, why is this such a notoriously haunted hotel? Because it doesn't have, like, some sordid, creepy past or anything. In 1911, one of the housekeepers, Elizabeth Wilson, she was electrocuted in room 217 during a lightning storm, but she survived. So it's like, what the heck? But room 217 is totally like one of the most haunted rooms. And that happens to be the room that Stephen King himself stayed in. I'm trying to get to my notes. My computer's freezing. Anywho, so tons of famous people have stayed there too, like Theodore Roosevelt, the Emperor of Japan, Margaret Brown from the Titanic. She stayed there. It's huge. It's 138 rooms. It's on like 35 acres, ballrooms, all kinds of crazy hugeness. So there's several areas in the hotel that are most well known for being haunted. And that is, of course, room 217, which I already mentioned. Guests report when they stay in that room that their luggage will be unpacked and that lights turn off and on. And they think that even though she survived, they think that it is still Elizabeth Wilson, because she was like the head housekeeper of the hotel while she was alive. And what's kind of funny, apparently she does not like couples who are not married, because if you are not married and you sleep in the same bed, couples will like report feeling a cold mass between them.
What the hell?
Yeah. So, and you can book that room and stay in it if you go to the hotel. Another claim is the big stairway is like one of the most well-known spots in the hotel, but psychics and stuff have claimed that there is a vortex at the top of the stairs. Yeah. So they're not really sure, again, why this hotel is so haunted. The hotel is built, like under the hotel is, I want to say limestone and quartz, which have been known like in the paranormal community and stuff. They think that that can contribute to energy and to hauntings and stuff, because as we know, quartz is a generator of energy. And limestone as well. Like a lot of haunted places, you'll find that they're built on a limestone foundation. But anyway, so apparently there's a lot of quartz and limestone under the Stanley Hotel. So that could be that paired with this vortex could be why it's haunted. I don't know. The dining room, the ballroom, which if you've seen The Shining, that's, you know, one of the creepy spots.
Right.
So there is reportedly music that will come from the ballroom even when there's nobody in there. And they think that it's Mrs. Stanley because she would play the piano. So people will hear the piano being played in the ballroom. There is also a guy named Paul who they think was one of the old workers at the hotel.
Yeah.
And he just kind of, you know, was a maintenance guy or whatever. And people will hear him in the ballroom telling people to get out, which is creepy. Room 401. And apparently, like I keep saying, apparently the whole apparently the fourth floor is really active. So you can stay anywhere on the fourth floor and have activity happen. So back in the day, like 100 years ago when the hotel was first built, or I guess even more than then, it was basically the attic, the fourth floor. And that's where the female employees and the nannies and any of the workers' children would stay on the fourth floor. So now if you stay on the fourth floor, it's obviously it's hotel rooms now. But if you stay on the fourth floor, people hear children running up and down the halls and laughing and playing. And there's even like a closet in room 401 that will open and shut on its own. Oh. I don't know why that's so creepy to me, like ghost kids laughing. I mean,
oh God, I don't like that.
Could you imagine that, like laying in your bed in a hotel and just hear like little ghost children running up and down the halls? I don't know why. So room 428 is also one of the most haunted rooms in the hotel. And people will hear footsteps and furniture moving above them, but the roof is above them. And the roof is slanted. So it's not like there could be anybody on the roof, like running around. So that's just kind of weird. And that creeps me out, makes me think of like the Jersey Devil where they heard the footsteps and stuff.
Yes.
Also in room 428, people have reported seeing a cowboy standing at the corner of the bed.
Okay. No.
But who is this cowboy? I don't know. I mean, it is in the middle of, you know, the mountains and wilderness. So maybe it was a cowboy who died on the land many years ago. I don't know. So the grand staircase, like I mentioned, is where the vortex is reported. That's also where that photo was taken, where you can see the figure of the woman standing at the top of the stairs.
Ugh.
Yeah. And then there are underground caves under the Stanley Hotel.
Of course there are, because of course.
I know, right? So reportedly, there's activity in the caves as well. The caves were built for workers in the earlier days of the hotel. That's where the workers would travel rather than like traipsing through the hotel. They would travel through under the caves. But yeah, so that's it. But I want to stay there.
It looks, I mean, I like Stephen King and I like his books. So in a weird, I feel like I wouldn't want to spend the night there, but I would go there.
Yeah. Well, they have tour. I mean, you can go and just do tours and they have, I think I saw on their website, they have like the Shining tour.
Oh.
So like a Stephen King tour, basically. So that is for the scaredy cats can do that tour. And then they have an actual like ghost tour as well that you can go on.
Yeah, that'd be rad.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. Because a lot of people, they know about The Shining, but they don't know that he actually stayed at this hotel. And so, and fun fact about the movie The Shining, the indoor scenes of The Shining were on a, what is it, sound lot? Is that what I'm trying to say?
studio lot?
Yeah, sound studio lot. It wasn't actually done at the hotel. And then the outside of the hotel, I can't remember now the shots of the outside of the hotel, but it was not the Stanley Hotel.
Oh, it wasn't?
Uh-uh. I don't know why they didn't use the Stanley Hotel. But there we go. Haunted hotel.
That's fun. I feel like this is a topic we could probably have like a million episodes on.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I don't know. So, where is the most haunted hotel that you know of?
I don't know. The Stanley Hotel, maybe. It's not really a hotel, but you can stay there. And oh my gosh, this is on my bucket list too. Is Myrtle's Plantation in Louisiana. Oh my God. That's like one of the most haunted locations in America, in the United States. And I want to stay there so badly at the Myrtle's Plantation. And then also the Winchester Mystery House in California. You can, I'm pretty sure they've opened it up now that you can stay the night. It used to just be you could go and do like a daytime walking tour, but I think you can stay the night there now. So those two places would be amazing to go to. So,
I mean, if you like that kind of creepy thing.
And I do.
Yep.
Except I would not stay at the Cecil. That's like a different kind of creepy.
Oh, I know, right? Like, again, like it's...
Yeah. Like, I could handle little ghost children running up and down the halls. I could handle a ghostly cowboy standing at the end of my bed. But I don't want to deal with whatever creepy ass energies at the Cecil.
Yeah, that's like bad vibes.
Yeah, that's not good. Alrighty. Well, that's all we got for you guys. If you guys have stayed at either of those hotels or been to it, let us know. We're on Instagram.
Any creepy hotel.
Yeah, or any creepy hotel. We're on Instagram and Facebook at Podcast Obscura, or I'm sorry, Podcast_Obscura. So, toodles.
Bye.